Well, this is a great time of year. Don't you love it? I love Christmas. You know, we're in this time of preparation. We're in this time of preparing for the deepening once again of the awareness of what is always present. You know, it's a reawakening to the Christ consciousness, to that divine presence in us. It's a time to prepare for the birth or the rebirth of the Christ in the manger of our own heart. In the Bible, and we look at it metaphysically, that's how we look at the Bible in unity, the birth of a new state of consciousness is represented by the birth of a baby. Notice that throughout the Bible, when there's a new consciousness, shift in consciousness, a baby's born. And so as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this Christmas, what we're doing is we're acknowledging that this divine essence is being birthed once more, once again, in us. We are reminded we are the light of the world. We're reminded we are divine. That's why I love Christmas. It's such a great reminder. You know, the presents are great. I love those too. Love the trees, love the cards, love the phone calls, love the parties, love the cookies. But we're reminded every Christmas of the divine being born again in us. And the universe asks each one of us, you know, are you ready for this birth to happen? You know, do you have room in your day timer or your Palm Pilot or whatever you use these days? Do you have room for more of God's presence in your life? You know, are you really ready? Are you ready for the birth of more peace, more love, more joy, more hope in the fullness and the busyness of your day? That's why this Advent season is so important. It's a time to prepare. It's the four Sundays before Christmas. And it's a time that we get to spiritually prepare ourselves for the birth of the Christ in us. It's four Sundays to prepare. I mean, it goes like this, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, okay, we've got a month to Christmas. And then all of a sudden, it'll be tomorrow. But you can take the time, and I encourage you, take the time this year. It may be the first year you've ever done it. Take the time to prepare yourself for the birth of this presence and this Christ within you. Now, I think it's very interesting that peace, love, and joy, according to David Hawkins, is very, very high on the vibrational scale of consciousness. How many of you are familiar with David Hawkins' work in Power versus Force? Okay, some of you are. Great, great book. I think we got a few. I think Pat said we had two in the book. It's a great book. But David Hawkins in Power versus Force says is that when we're vibrating at this level of peace, love, and joy, it's very high. And you will, when you vibrate there, you will experience peace, serenity, and illumination. Isn't that great? Now, and I'd like to do that. I'd like to be vibrating there. And he says not very many people are at that level. And he says, you know, the great avatars and teachers are way off the scale. But for humans, he said that that's about the height of where we can go in consciousness at this time in history. But I think it's also interesting that peace, love, and joy seem to be the common themes in all of the major world religions. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, hope, which represents hope, symbolized by a candle. You know, it's about the awareness of the Christ light shining brightly within us. That light, that knowing that light will transform the darkness, that light will bring spiritual illumination to every area of our life. I once saw a church sign that said, "Hope is faith stretching its hand out to you in the darkness." A beautiful faith. A hope is faith stretching its hand out to you in the darkness. And one of my favorite definitions of faith is the bird that feels the light, but sings while the dawn is still dark. But faith is that, like that bird that feels the light and sings even though it's dark because it knows the light will come. It's absolutely certain that the light will come, and it starts singing in advance. That's faith. That is true faith. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of this Unity movement, he said that the most important scripture in the entire Bible is found in the letter of Paul to the Colossians. And it goes like this. You know, the mystery throughout the ages and generations, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Didn't say Jesus Christ in you. It said the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the Christ in me, my hope of glory, the divine essence in me. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the divine essence in you. You know, there's a God seed growing in you and me. Wow. I don't know if you're excited about that, but I'm really interested in that. And I want to know what that is. I want to know how to grow it more in me. It's our second unity principle, that there is a divinity within every single person. Every person is born divine, not some. Or if you do certain things, or if you're a good person. Every single person is born divine, and everybody is practicing it, is it? Are they? I mean, there are some people that are totally oblivious to that. But every person is born with that spark. No one, in Unity, we do not believe a single person is born in original sin. Everyone is born in original blessing. Don't you love that? We're born an original blessing, you know, of great value. Every single person. It's our second basic principle. I'd like you to take your bulletins out. I need mine down there. And on the back panel, we've got our, in this little shaded box, we've got our five basic principles. And you need to memorize these. Because this is Unity's belief system right here. So if anybody says, what is Unity about? If you can say these five things, this is what Unity is. So I would like us to say the second one, because that's what we're talking about today. Let's say it together. The second bullet. Every human being is an expression of the divine. The Christ Spirit, by whatever name, indwells all people. Their very essence is of God, and therefore they are also inherently good. Every person is born divine. Every person is inherently good. No exceptions. No exceptions. You either believe it or you don't. And this is one of our core beliefs in Unity. It's probably the biggest difference between us and major Christian denominations. That's kind of where we differ the greatest, is that we do not believe in this thing called original sin. We believe every child is born divine. And so when you really start to take this to heart, then you begin to realize that you are not this body. You know, we are not this form. We are not our names. We are not our careers. We're nothing in form at all. You know, and our first mistake comes when we come into this human body and we get mesmerized by it. This is who I am. This is who I am. That's who you are. And then, of course, this basic assumption throws us right into separation. You're there. I'm here. But as Stefan's saying, we are all together. We are one together. No separation. And that separation, that idea that you're there and I'm here, it starts us thinking, okay, I'm better than you. You know, I'm more spiritual than you are. You ever heard that? You know, or I know better than you know. You know, and we're off to the races. But we are invited into this frequency. We're invited into a shift that Jesus embodied and has been calling us into for over 2,000 years. And it was not a new idea. This is not a new idea that we're a divine. It's an ancient idea. It's a true idea. And true ideas are ancient. And so unity is sometimes called new thought, ancient wisdom, because it's the truths that are taught by every spiritual tradition. Now, if you were to say to a Hindu child, for example, that you are divine, the child would absolutely laugh at you. Then why are you telling me that? Of course I already know that. That's how they're brought up. But you tell a Western child that they're divine, you know, and either their ego kicks in or they have no clue what you're talking about. And so as we enter this Christmas season, we have the most wonderful opportunity to really begin to embody this truth, Christ in me. And the truth, Christ in me, means that I am of noble birth. You are of noble birth. And so how many of you here this morning have gone through this past week as one coming from noble birth? Now, I don't mean better than. I'm better than you. What I mean is that one who has been raised in knowing that the entire universe is conspiring on your behalf to bring forth your greatest and most magnificent and highest good. The entire universe is for you. Jesus said it like this. He said, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you this consciousness that everything is working together in the universe for your highest and greatest good." Now, just think about it. If you knew, really knew and understood, if you really understood this idea, if you understood that you are divine, if you understood that the universe's divine plan is that everything is working for your highest good, if you understood this, let me ask you, how different would your life be? And how many people this week maybe had a situation where you thought, "I don't think so. I didn't see the good here. I mean, things didn't really turn out as I wanted them to turn out." But when we understand that we are of noble birth, that we are deeply, deeply loved, that everything is moving us to wake up, to bring us into our highest and greatest potential, when we truly understand and know that everything is working for our highest good, I mean, how good is that? And there is no devil out there trying to make you fail. We don't believe that in unity. It's us. It's us. It's you and me forgetting that we are divine. That's the devil. So you have no excuse. You can't say, "The devil made me do it." You know, sometimes it's very comforting to kind of blame somebody else. But in unity, we take full responsibility. It's me that did that when I fell into separation, when I realized this, when I thought this is who I am. But the truth is everything in the entire universe is working for your highest good. And everything is creating for you an opportunity to have the most wonderful experience possible. And when we truly believe this, then we will wake up every single morning with this great expectation that something wonderful is going to happen to me today. Whether the car breaks down or the car doesn't break down, you're going to have a fabulous, wonderful, exciting day. Hope, our theme today. You're learning that I love acronyms. I took the word HOPE, H-O-P-E, and I created an acronym, Heavenly Opportunities Positively Expressed. Heavenly Opportunities Positively Expressed. And so, in order for us to live our life in this great expectation that something wonderful is going to happen, heavenly opportunities, we need to develop some practices that when we get up in the morning and we're singing, "My God is so good to me," and we're moving and we're grooving through the day and everything is positively going absolutely well, and then we have to cancel the Thanksgiving Eve service because of snow that I was told never rarely happens in Bellevue. Or you get to the airport after a wonderful holiday weekend and you discover that the airplanes are not landing or taking off because of fog or snow. God, that's great. And just as there's an awareness that we are awakening spiritual beings, there's also this part of us, this human part of us, that's on a great adventure. Heavenly opportunities waiting to be positively expressed. And so that's where spiritual principles really, really come in handy. Knowing that I am divine. Knowing that I am the light of the world. Knowing that there is spiritual illumination in what appears to be the darkness. Someone once said, hope springs eternal in the human heart. You know, heavenly opportunities positively expressed. There's a wonderful little fairy tale, fable, if you will, the Princess of Saratip, and I think it was written by a Unity minister. But there's so much about our journey that's contained in this little story. And Joseph Campbell one time said, a myth may never actually have happened, but it's happening all the time in our consciousness. So the Princes of Saratip, they were brothers, and their parents were the king and queen, all powerful. And they absolutely adored their sons, just like you and I. We are so adored by the infinite loving intelligence of the universe that absolutely delights in who we are and wants to give us the universe. That these princes, they grow up believing and knowing that they are absolutely adored. And their mother and father, you know, very powerful. They make sure everything is taken care for them. That all of their needs are met. And whenever they get in a problem, it's solved. There's nothing that could ever happen that isn't fixed. And so these boys grow up knowing that they not only are absolutely loved, but they grow up knowing everything is working together for their highest and greatest good. And so as they wake up in the morning, they wake up every day with great expectations or heavenly opportunities. And the way that they positively express these great expectations is through this one. This is one of their sayings that they use. If you knew today how great tomorrow was going to be, and how many hands today were working for you right now to make sure tomorrow was going to be absolutely awesome, you would say no matter what, no matter what seemingly went wrong, no matter if planes were taking off or not taking off, no matter if there was snow or not snow, no matter if you had a flat tire or not, whatever is happening, you would know that there is a frequency, a vibration of apocatastasis. Something wonderful is going to happen to me today. Apocatastasis. In the midst of something that seems terrible, there is something magnificent about to happen. Can you imagine living in that vibration? That's the vibration, the frequency that Thomas Edison lived in. He was a great inventor. He invented, thousands and thousands of things. And he also had a very deep connection to spirit. And one thing he didn't talk about a lot, but he did say in an interview towards his later years, he said that whenever he got to a problem he couldn't solve, he'd take a nap. I kind of like that. Because he had the great expectation that when he took a nap, he would get the next step. And it always happened that way. He always got what was the next step. And so this is the frequency he lived in, the vibration, the awareness that he lived in. And so one day, the barn where he kept all of his inventions, the barn caught on fire. And he woke his wife up and he said, honey, wake up. The barn's on fire. All of my inventions. Get up. We may never see another fire like this again. We laugh. But that is the awareness that we're designed to live in. Now, this man lived really attuned and listening to God. And he knew everything was working together for his highest and greatest good. And he was even, I think I read later, that he said all of his mistakes were burned up. And he had a fresh new start. He could start totally from nothing. So that's the energy that we're called to live in. And so you must ask yourself, you know, as we're practicing together as a spiritual community, living in this kind of energy and vibration, we need to ask, each one needs to ask ourselves, you know, do I really, really believe that God is the source of my good? It's a good question. Do you really believe God is the source of your good? You know, do you believe that wherever God puts you, you are there to shine your light brightly? Can you affirm in the midst of whatever is happening, apocatastasis, something wonderful is going to happen to me today? And do you have hope that heavenly opportunities are being positively expressed through you, and knowing that everything is working together for your highest and greatest good? Now, how many of you are still working on the 7-day mental diet? Okay, it's kind of petering out. I really encourage you to keep it alive. What it is 7, it's Emmett Fox's 7-day mental diet. 7 concepts. You thought I'd forget. I'm going to keep asking. But 7 days, 7 consecutive days of no complaining, no gossiping, no whining, no complaining of any kind, no being negative at all. 7 consecutive days. And if you, has anybody gotten past day 1? Okay. Sort of. Yes or maybe a little bit. Okay. We have one person who has gotten past day 2? No. Day 2? Past 2? You're on day 3? Yay! Good for you. Good for you. So there's hope. There is hope. It's possible. It is possible. Now, I have been giving you tools. That first day that I introduced, I said, you know, use God. That's great. If it's some negative thought comes in, you know, you say God, because you're taking the focus off of the problem onto God. That's great. And you're shifting the energy into a positive place. God, that's great. I've heard lots of that. Last week, I shared with you, if you're in a state of blessing and thanksgiving and praise, you can't be negative. So find more things to be grateful for and be in that energy of gratefulness. And today, you've got another, I'm going to give you a tool every week until we get to day 2 and 3 and 4 and you get to day 7. So this week is the apocatastasis, something wonderful, getting up every day with great expectations that something wonderful is going to happen to you that day, and be looking for it. Be in that energy, because guess what? You're going to attract it. You will attract it if you get up in that energy every single day, apocatastasis. So several years ago, I was introduced to a wonderful little book called 5 Wishes. And I meant to have a copy up here, but they have it in the bookstore. So it's a great little book, makes a great Christmas present. And if you noticed in the bulletin, I've kind of started a book of the month. Because people ask me all the time, what are your favorite books? What are you reading now? Any new books? And so I'm just going to kind of, as I find a good book, as my favorites, I will kind of be letting you know what they are in case you're interested in reading. But 5 Wishes makes a great little Christmas present as well, because in 5 Wishes, Gay Hendricks, he shares a time when he met someone at a party who asked him a question that absolutely changed his life. He writes, imagine you're on your deathbed tonight or 50 years from now, and I look right at you, I look you right in the eyes, and I ask, was your life a complete success? You would say yes, it was, or no, it wasn't. And if you said, no, my life wasn't a complete success, you'd have some reasons why. And so Gay came up with 5 wishes that, if they would have happened, would have made his life a complete success. And he shares those 5 wishes with you, and he also takes you through a 5 wishes process for yourself. Gay writes, from the perspective of your deathbed, what matters is that your final breath comes in with the sweet satisfaction of a life fulfilled.
and goes out with the blessings of a life complete. From the perspective of right now, what matters is that your next breath energizes your intention to fulfill your destiny. And so we start with hope, heavenly opportunities positively expressed. Christ in you, the hope of glory, knowing that everything is working together for your highest good. Apokatastasis is everything. Yeah, there's great expectations of something wonderful happening to you this day. And then we practice being the light of the world and letting our light shine. So stay with me. I am a light in the world together. I am a light in the world. I will shine my light. I will shine my light. I shine so bright. I shine so bright. And so you are the light of the world. Take that light, go out, get busy shining it. God bless you. Have a great first week of Advent. Blessings.